Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you as we continue to worship you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear that still small voice, Lord, and then help us to obey it. God, we ask in Jesus' name that as we worship you, you would allow us to love you in a way that maybe we haven't loved you in a long time. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Expectations can be that belief that someone will or something will be achieved. Someone will achieve something or something will be achieved. Expectations. For instance, when I graduated from high school, I just thought the next step of life was to go on to college. I thought at that time all kids after high school went to college. But then I found this wasn't true. There were kids who would begin working jobs with skills they had learned or already developed in high school. I had friends go and work at the various plants in Saginaw right after high school, which afforded them an opportunity to earn a living. But for me, my parents had planted an expectation that after high school, I would go to college. This was just one of many expectations that some experience in life, and this was an expectation that became a reality in my life. As I indicated, an expectation was placed upon me, which I then took on for myself. You know, we all have expectations placed upon us at times in our lives. You should be seen and not heard. No roughhousing. Really? With three boys under the age of three? You will behave. You will grow up to be or to not be. You fill in the blank. And this hasn't changed through the years. When we look at some of the saints in the Old Testament, we expect that they were perfect people so that they could be used by God. But if we have learned anything since we began our journey through the story, is that they were anything but perfect. If anything, we have learned that God uses broken people, people who have problems, but are willing to follow God wherever God leads them. Are you one of those people? Willing to follow God? Now we have had the benefit of knowing the end of the story in regard to Jesus and who Jesus was and what Jesus wanted to accomplish in this world. But for a moment, let's put on a mindset as one who lived during Jesus' day. The teachers of the law, the priests and the Pharisees supposedly understood who the Messiah, the Savior of the world, that God was sending to the Jews, who he would be based on Old Testament scripture, based on the prophecies from the prophets. Some common people had heard what God was doing or what God was going to do to make things right for the Jewish people who were now under Roman rule and no longer had freedom and no longer were the free people they once were. Then there were some who truly on the inside knew what was going on. They knew what God was doing because they had been a part of it for years. Mary and Joseph, John the Baptist and his parents. And then there were the disciples who had over the last 2 years been coming to terms with who this guy was. Was he the Messiah that God had spoken about through the prophets, the one who would come to save God's people? Remember, at that time, there were others who were claiming to be this Messiah who had failed in being the person they thought God was sending. You see, the biggest expectation at that time about the Messiah would be that he would be a mighty military man. Like King David would come and build an army and crush the Romans so that they could once again be free people. Or he would be a man like King Solomon, who would bring in a new era of peace and prosperity. This was their current understanding, the current expectation of who they were looking for in the Messiah, the one that God was sending. Now, it was into the third year that the disciples had been walking with Jesus, and you would think by now they would know, surely this is the Son of God, this is the Messiah. And other people at that time were beginning to demand a sign or proof that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Of course, for us looking back at hindsight, we say, sure, Jesus was the Messiah. But in that day, what most had seen or heard were in two camps. First, Jesus was someone who was healing the sick, healing the lame, even some who were thought to be dead. And secondly, Jesus was a teacher who spoke in powerful ways and grace-filled ways that really touched the lives of the people. He worked at giving people who were far from God hope. Hope that they could get into a right relationship with God once again. It's the same hope people need today who are far from God. After some time, Jesus asked the disciples who people believed, asked the disciples, who is it that people believe I am? Let's read their reply together. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. And you know what? These were great biblical answers, as they were all great godly men who were written about, who would precede the Messiah's coming, the expected conquering hero. But now it's do or die time as Jesus turns to Peter and says, who do you think I am? Kind of that same question we all have to wrestle with as we come to know Jesus. Who do we think this guy is? And I don't know what might have been going through Peter's head at that time. I don't know if you would have ever thought about what Peter might have been thinking of at that time. Would he be able to give a smart biblical answer? Peter replies, you are the Christ. Christ being the Greek for Messiah, the one who saves. Finally, it has been said out loud. Somebody believes that Jesus is the Messiah. This man who heals, who speaks with authority and power, is now believed by Peter and all of the rest of the disciples that he is indeed the Messiah. But Jesus certainly isn't rounding up an army of soldiers, is he? He's not training them in combat as might be expected for the Savior of the Jews. He was rounding up an army of believers who would eventually do more than conquer Rome. They would change the world. Now, you might think that's enough for the disciples to just say that they believe that Jesus was the one sent from God to free the people. But Jesus takes it a step further with the small leadership of the disciples to hammer home he is who he said he is. Read this with me. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Now this is a holy moment. You see, Jesus reveals to these three clearly who he is. The glory of the Son of God. His face shone like the sun. Clothes as white as the light. They were getting a preview of the risen Christ. And as Peter was talking, a bright cloud covered over them, as if that wasn't enough. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. listen to him. It goes on to say, when the disciples heard this voice, God's voice, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. In a time of reverent awe for God, they put their faces on the ground. We often see this in the Bible when people find themselves in the presence of Almighty God. Yet somehow in today's age, God's name is profaned so often and without a second thought. It's as if people don't have any fear of God any longer. It's as if God is dead. But friends, I see God moving in the life of this congregation to move us to a place where God wants us, a more holy place, a deeper love of God. Our biblical expectation is that Jesus will one day return and take the remaining believers, those who live, to heaven before the end of the world. But don't let this be your future expectation of God. No, God is with us now. God is active now, helping to shape each of us now into the image of the one whom he sent. And our expectation should be that of God. How are you going to be with me and help me to love more? God, how are you going to help me move in the lives of others and so that they can know your great love? God, how are you going to help me to worship you more deeply and glorify your name more wholly on the face of this earth with the time I have remaining? How, God? How are you going to do that? You know, I wonder if what held people up during those days back in Jesus' day from making a decision to believe in Jesus, if it wasn't the misinformation that they were receiving, that they were holding on to, you know, the expectation of who Jesus should be, as they were told by the religious leaders of the day. After this moment, Jesus enters into the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, a high festival the Jewish people celebrated. And it says the Jewish leaders were watching him. They saw Jesus as laying down a philosophy that was in opposition of everything that they were telling people. And this is reflected in the people of that day. Some thought, Scripture says, that he was a good man. Others said he deceives the people. The authorities were afraid of him and didn't say one thing or the other. And people were waiting for them to decide, is this the Messiah or not? And yet there were those who did believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They said, when the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this one? It seems for them, Jesus had met their expectations. During the Festival of Tabernacles, according to the Jewish Mishnah, at the end of the first day at the temple, 4 75-foot-high gold candelabras were put up. And each had 4 branches with 4 large bowls filled with 10 gallons of oil. And this light in the temple could be seen from miles on that night when it was lit, as the temple sits on the highest point in Jerusalem. Imagine the lights of a football field instead of pointing down at the field, just being like great big light bulbs. It reminded the people of how God's Shekinah glory once filled God's temple during the time of King Solomon. There was also a celebration with the priests and many people singing on the final day of the feast. They would take a golden pitcher down to the pool at the base of Jerusalem's wall and put some spring water in it. They would march back up to the temple, singing with music and praising God, and pour that water into a silver basin on the altar as a sign of thanks to God for all the water they had received for their crops. Now imagine Jesus teaching in the temple after these celebrations and with a loud voice saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So many people Jesus spoke and ministered to were people who needed to know that there was freedom in following him, that he would light their way to come out of darkness in their lives. And Jesus spoke again, saying, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit as the living water, which still had yet to be poured out into the lives of believers. But after his ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit was poured out into all believers' lives. Each of us who believe have that same Holy Spirit of God in us, helping us, guiding us, showing us a way out of darkness and living a life in the light. Jesus used what was happening at the festival to help those who were listening, looking for the Messiah, to understand that he was indeed the one that they had been waiting for. When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man? I think not. Again, Jesus would put actions with his words when his friend Lazarus was sick. His sisters asked Jesus to hurry, but instead of going right away, he waited 2 more days. Jesus would then arrive, and once again, Jesus would give proof of who he was by raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. You see, there certainly were expectations of who Jesus was supposed to be. But then we must not forget what Jesus expects of his followers today. That as followers, we must continue to seek and to know Jesus and allow him to speak to us through God's holy word by the power of his Holy Spirit. We must be willing to serve others, and that by service, help others to know the love of God. That as followers, we must allow ourselves to be molded. And this is so hard for a lot of people, to be molded and changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Are we able to know Jesus as his disciples knew Jesus? Yes. Are we able to serve Jesus by serving others? Yes. Are we able to be changed into the image of the one true God? Yes. Can you say that you are able? Yes. You can say it. But will you mean it? We can sing, "Lord, you are able to change us, to move in our lives, to touch the lives of those around us." We can say it, but will we mean it? Will we allow God's hands into our lives to mold us into the person he wants us to be? Shedding all other expectation of who we think we should be, and allowing God to shape us into the people he wants us to be. Yes, we can say we are able, but will we allow God? It's not an easy road. But it is the right road. We will face opposition from others who do not understand what's going on in our lives. But keep taking that step forward, one step at a time. And Lord willing, others will see Jesus in us, the light of the world, the living water that wells up within us, that springs forth joy and love so that others may know. Because not only are we able, but we can, and we are being formed into the image of the one. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that you are able to do much more, exceedingly more than we could ever hope or imagine. And Lord, we pray, we ask that you would give us eyes to see how you are working in our lives, how you are changing us to be not only yours, but to be like you. And so we ask in Jesus' name that you would draw us ever closer, that you would inspire us to do more than what we think we can do. Lord, that your kingdom may grow in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Use us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,